Good morning, family. Hope you guys are doing well this morning. As always, just we ought to be thankful. We talked about this morning a wonderful Bible class, just learning to be cheerful in all areas that God blesses us with, whether it be money, whether it be finances, whether it be seeing another day. You know, there's a whole lot of folks who would love to be able to be here and have the physical health and strength, the mental capacity to be here, but could not. So sometimes, as we like to say, we always seem to look spiritual gifts, horses in the mouth, so to speak. But definitely glad to see so many here. As I mentioned before, definitely keep those who are bereaved in our prayers. In particular, keep Sister Penny Smith's family in your prayers. And Brother Chloe Cecil passed away on Monday. 95 years old, Regina and I had the opportunity to go to his birthday party not too long ago. But continue to keep him in your prayers. He's definitely a faithful man of God and preaching the gospel. I think he said about 75, 76 years. So, and he was still preaching until the end, and so we definitely know that he deserves his rest that he's getting. Subject title, Doctrines of Demons. This is part 11. I'm wrapping this series of lessons down as we go. Hey, what's the thing doing again? Is it my fault again?
Yeah, watch.
All right, I'm trying to back it up. Oh, that's too far. I think it's my big fingers. I'm sorry. All right, I got my backup over there. Jenny got to help me a little bit. Doctrines of Demons. I said I'd wrap this series of lessons up. We've been spending a lot of time on what it looks like in the world. We're going and using as a springboard theme scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, where the Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And if you stop with me there, if you never let me finish, then we'll think that Satan has won. But I'm going to just change some things, because even though Satan's forces are mighty, God has given us the victory. There is no need to be afraid. There is no need to cower in fear, because God has given us the victory. But we must be able to see it as such. We must be able to understand what God has done. We must be able to see this whole picture with our spiritual eyes. Yes, we have an enemy that's trying to destroy us. But do you realize that we all have victory in Christ Jesus? Do we realize that the victory is ours? All we have to do is to finish the course. But to set our mind for it, let us turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, we're going to begin at verse number 31. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 31. And as we're reading this particular verse, I'm going to make some things, and I'm going to put it in ways that maybe we can kind of understand and grasp a little bit more of this meaning. Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse number 31. I get verse 30 as well. It says, "Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, all the chief priests mocking said among themselves, with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe, and that they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard this, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the bottom to the top to the bottom, rather. Now, I want you to think about this picture. See if you can't take your mind back to this time, and maybe you were in the crowd. Notice verse number 32, it says, and the chief priests and scribes mocked him. But I want to talk to us about this morning. There was somebody else that was in that crowd, and that was Satan. Think about Satan and what he might have said to Christ. Christ, dealing with the agony of the crucifixion, looked up, not only saw the chief priests and scribes mocking him, but there was Satan in the midst. Satan saying things like, thought you were the Son of God. Saying things like, you know what? Jesus, this whole world could have been yours. I promised it to you earlier. And all you had to do was bow down and worship me. Satan then puts an evil smirk on his face, saying, I got you. I got the Son of God. Then he gets even more exhilarated with happiness and joy when Christ takes his last breath. I wonder, just wonder, how Satan felt and his angels felt at this moment. From the time he was born, he was taunted. From the time he was crucified, he was taunted. Go back and look, even during the first years of his life, look at the decree Herod made to kill every child in that particular area under 2 years of age. He was trying to kill our Lord and Savior. Satan taunted him with persecutions. He taunted him even physically with beatings. Satan prepared for a battle to be fought on earth. He was actually fighting on the wrong battleground. So we're going to talk about why we need to learn to fight our battles on the spiritual side. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. See if we can fix that technical difficulty. I can't work this thing right. Here we go. Man. I struggle with technology. Ephesians chapter 6. Let us begin at verse number 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan thought he won. Satan, probably in many folks' eyes, was taking a victory lap as Christ was dying. There was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Satan is the ruler of darkness. So everything on the surface looks like Satan has won. Well, why are we talking about this? Because it looks like, when we look at the world compared to Christians, that the world has won. But no, we have the victory. No, God has given us something more precious than what this world has to offer. He only asks us to be faithful unto death. He only asks us to keep the faith. He says, this world is not our home, so don't get too tied up in it. This world is not our home, we're just passing through. He has something better for us, but Satan really didn't understand it. Satan couldn't really see it. So let's make a few points. First of all, point number one, take it back one, Regina. One slide, first slide. Point number one. There we go. The purpose of the cross. Satan had no clue why Jesus came to earth. Because if he did, he would have done things differently. Angels didn't fully understand why Jesus came to earth. Satan tried to kill him from the womb, as I said before. He taunted him the whole time he was on earth. Satan prepared for a battle to be fought on earth. So we have the victory. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. So it made no sense to Satan, who was full of pride, who wanted to exalt himself of God. He couldn't understand why Christ made himself of no reputation. He couldn't understand why Christ left glory that Satan wanted to rule. He couldn't understand why Christ would come down, suffer the way he did, having all power in his hands and power to change those things. We see that he demonstrated time and time again that he had power over Satan and his angels when he cast out evil demons, when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead. But Christ was in power the whole time. Now, can you imagine maybe the conversation that Satan had with his angels? What is wrong with this man? He could do us and he could destroy us at any moment. Why is he letting us do these things? Why is he letting us crucify? Why is he letting man who was created a little lower than the angels, why is he letting him do these things to us? Why is he letting him do these things to him? He's God in the flesh. We know it. My angels know it. We know that he is. We addressed him as such. Why would he do these things? But he never could understand the power of the cross. He never could understand that Christ was in power the whole time. But notice what else it says.
All right. Here we go. Right ahead, right.
Help me out. Next one. I'll get together sooner or later. What happened was God really saved us from his own wrath. What do you mean by that? First of all, we must realize that God is holy. Sin can never be tolerated. Think about what he did in Christ Jesus. Think about the fact that Christ considered it not robbery to be considered God. Consider the fact that the Word was with God and the Word was God. So Satan didn't understand that it was God's plan all along for sovereignty, for heaven to put on flesh so that we could have an opportunity to spend with him. Satan and the angels were merely pawns in God's eternal plan. God planned redemption for us before the world was created, before Satan rebelled, before Satan and his angels were kicked out, Satan and the third angels with him, before they were cast into hell and down to this place to torment man. God's plan needed a substitute who was made from his own nature. Satan couldn't understand that. Satan couldn't grasp that, but hopefully we will. Why did Christ come to earth? We sing a song, why did Jesus come to earth? Why did he come to earth? You ever thought about it? You ever really just thought about it? I'm not talking about just thanking God like arbitrarily or just in passing. Have you really thought about what Christ did for us? Have you really been able to see God's plan? And if so, you'll realize that all along we have the victory. No longer should we be worried about what this world does to us and throws at us. You know, sometimes it's so easy to do. We get caught up in the things of this world and the evil in this world. And what happens is it causes us to take our eyes off of Christ and him crucified. We get so entangled in this world. We get so tied up in the thing of this world. It begins to rob us of our peace and joy. But are you able to see what Christ saw? Are you able to see that not only was death on the cross, but there was also life on the cross? See, when we look at the thing, you've ever watched that movie, The Passion of Christ? That's a very touching movie. I love it, but I can't really watch it back to back because it'll tear me up. But I imagine it was 10 times, if not 20 times worse in real life. They did that to our Lord and Savior, but he did it willingly. He did it knowing that it was God's plan all along. So see, Satan thought he had him. But we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Satan had already lost and didn't even know it. See, God is an awesome God. God is a God who, again, works within his own nature. God chose to give free will to all of his creation. God cannot lie. God cannot sin. God reveals his holy nature to us constantly. But then God shows us in intimate detail the penalty of sin, and that's death. Why did Christ come to earth? Why did he die on the cross? So that we could realize how serious sin was. Sin, when it's unchecked or unrepented of, it causes death. That's why he came to this world. That's why there was no other way for him to come, for him to put on flesh, to put on our sin, to die for our sins. But that's not the end of the story. See, I told you Satan didn't understand what was going on. God never let him know his full plan. If he did, he would have done more to try to thwart it. He would have not only tried to kill Christ physically, but he would have fought this battle in spiritual territory. But God lays out his penalty for sin, death. So when we look at Christ on the cross, yes, it was painful. Yes, it was something to go through. But do you realize that that was us dying on the cross with him? if we obey him. He died for our sins. He's a man who committed no sin. Satan couldn't understand it. But why in the world are you dying and you did nothing wrong, Christ? Why are you suffering these things and you don't have to? You cast a whole legion of my angels and my boys on my side in the pigs, and they ran off a cliff. You cast out demons, seven demons at one time out of Mary Magdalene. And why would you do that and die the death you're dying? You really could, if you wanted to, call legions of angels down and get you off their cross. Why would you do it? But there was victory in what we did and what he did for us. Think about that for a moment. God showed us what death cost us. He showed us the penalty of sin. He showed us how much he loved us. God knows that death means eternal separation. Physical death, newsflash, is not the end. When we die physically, all that happens is that our soul is separated from the flesh. The flesh returns to dirt, and our soul goes either to a resting place or torments. It's not the end of us. Spiritual death is a lot worse than physical death. I think Brother Grady in his wonderful lesson last week talked about not fearing those who are able to kill the body, but fearing those who are able to kill both body and soul. Christ was living beyond this world the time, the very moment he stepped on it. His mind was focused on spiritual things. He had a spiritual goal to do. He had a spiritual goal. He didn't want us to die physically. He didn't want us to die spiritually, that is. Physical death was just a part of life. But spiritual death is what God was more concerned with. Spiritual death is eternal separation from God and his love. Christ suffered separation in our place. When he said what he said in Mark chapter 15, the verses I read, Eli, Eli, Sabaththani, now he's actually speaking on our behalf. Because that's what sin does. It separates us from God. Everything that Christ did on the cross was a mirror of our place in God and how God saw us and what God was wanting to do for us. So he said it. And you'd be like, why would Christ say it? He's God himself? But no, he took on human flesh so that he could be the prime example of what we look like in God's eyes. That's what was going on here. That's why Satan could never wrap his mind around it. Christ was more concerned about our spiritual death than any physical pain that he experienced. And when you think about this, think about what he went through. Think about him being beaten to within an inch of his life. Think about him that weight of the cross weighing him down. Think about how much he was losing blood and how he was beaten and picked on and that crown of thorns that's pushed down on his head. He was not concerned about his physical body. All Christ was concerned about was doing something about a man giving man away to do something about spiritual death. Satan couldn't wrap his mind around it. So he thought that if he killed physically the Son of God, that he had won. But we had victory in Christ all along. All right, sticking on me again. There we go. Christ had to be separated from his Father for our salvation. His physical death symbolized the spiritual death of man. God left the earth to allow Jesus to finish his plan for us. Why do I say that? Because from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, that was darkness. Not an eclipse. Not somebody with the wrong time who got the watch set wrong. It was high noon to 3 o'clock. Complete darkness. What did that symbolize? That symbolized that at that point in time, because Christ represented death, that God had to separate himself from him. Well, how do we know that? Because God is light, according to 1 John 1:5. Darkness, spiritual darkness, the second death, is basically being without God in utter darkness. So everything on the cross symbolized what Christ was doing. Satan thought it signaled his victory. Kill Christ, he's on the cross, darkness falls down. Yay, we won, but that's not the end of the story. This is the reason for darkness at the crucifixion. Not that God did it arbitrarily, that God did it, but he was doing it to show what sin could cause spiritually if we die spiritually without Christ. This is what it's talking about. This is what we see. Point number five. Christ paid our penalty with his blood. Acts 20 and 28. Life is in the blood. It tells us that in the book of Leviticus. Blood is life. But blood is also freedom, peace, and hope. Shedding life's blood, basically for Christ, is what gave us life. We're saved by blood, or being saved by blood means this, that Christ gave his blood to save our blood. He bore our sins on the cross. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, if you just stop there, verses 11 and 12, you would think that we're facing some mighty powerful adversaries. And we are. But no need to fret. No need to run and hide in fear, because Christ has given us the victory. When we see the things in our world, and we see how our world is becoming more and more evil and tied up, we as Christians ought not to fret, but ought to be glad, because we know that Christ is coming back soon for his church without spot or wrinkle. When people look at us and they see us, they ought to see us with joy in our hearts, not because this world is getting better, because guess what? It never will. If you get so tied up in this world, that working this world and trying to make it better, you know, it's not going to get better. We know this. Satan's time is short, so he's picking up the pace. But should that change us? No. We have something far better. We know that we have victory. And that's where we need to rest, and that's where we need to live and move and have our very being is in the victory that Christ has given us on the cross. This is what we see. He thought he won. He thought that when Christ shed his blood, that was it. Because blood was leaving a body that was dying. But no, sir, no, ma'am. That blood means life to us. That's what it means. And that's why it's so wonderful. See, I'm pressing once. I think. No, not. I got it better. Jesus defeats Satan by saving those ensnared by him. And that's how he does it. Christ didn't come to fight a physical battle. That's not why he came. But Satan never saw his plan, what he was doing for us. Satan had already felt he had all of mankind. All he wanted was the big prize. He wanted Christ, the Son of God. He felt that he had control over this world, and he still does. He feels the same way today. But he already knows, based on what happened and what he witnessed at the cross, that he's already lost the battle. He's no longer disillusioned that he can defeat God. He's no longer disillusioned that he can ever enter into heaven and dwell there anymore. He's doing his best to take as many folks away from him. So Jesus really defeats Satan in the gospel plan. We are baptized into his death, but guess what? It's really our own death. Christ set the example. We see it. He gave us example of baptism. He died on the cross, and then he also rose. Notice what it says in my lesson. Jesus went through hell on the cross so we wouldn't have to. Do we really realize what happened at the cross? Do we really realize that the pain that Christ went through should have been ours? That the sin that he bore was really ours. The fact that he went through what some folks call hell on earth, he did that so we wouldn't have to go to hell and experience the second death. That's the love that God has for us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to begin at verse number 1. Read down through verse number 6. It gives us a vivid picture of it here. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And it reads as such. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin. Shall we continue in sin? God said no. Do we have to continue in sin? God says no. So when we continue in sin, it's our choice not to take God's conditions of forgiveness of sin. Baptism was always in the plan. We identify with his death. We're buried with him in baptism. We identify with him just like he identified with us on the cross. We identify with him through baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. When Christ got up out of that grave, it gave us all hope. When Christ got up out of that grave, we knew that we could put sin behind us with God's help. When Christ got up out of that grave, his blood was not in vain. When Christ got up out of that grave, he truly gave us a chance to be joint heirs with him in Christ. We see these things going on. Verse 5 says this, for we are planted together in the likeness of his death, which is why baptism is commanded. That's the planting. That's identifying with his death. Then we'll also, in the likeness of his resurrection, be resurrected on that resurrection morning. See, Satan thought he had it, but he couldn't see God's complete plan. Satan is not smarter than God. Never has been, never will be. We don't need to fear the enemy. Do we need to respect him? Yes. But we have no reason to fear Satan and his angels. No matter what they do, no matter what they do in our society, no matter how many changes, we ought to stand tall because we have victory in Christ Jesus. I've seen so many folks who claim to be Christians or even Christians losing heart because of the things in this world. That ought not happen to us. We have the victory. This world is not going to stand. That's including our government, the United States, and every other country in this world. Are they going to meet the same end? The only thing that's going to last in the end is those who are Christ's. He's not coming back for a nation. He's not coming back for a country. He's coming back for his children, spiritual children. That's why our focus needs to be. Not so much on what this world has to offer, not so much on the evil of the world, but focus on the fact that I want to be ready when he comes back. That's what we need to be focused on. That's where our energy needs to be. And the last one, let me see if I can get it right. All right, let's try it again. There we go. The glorious victory of the resurrection. Because he lives, we can live too. Romans 1:4 talks about it. Christ proved that he was the Son of God, not by living on this earth and being served as a king, not even by dying, but by his resurrection. Christ proved it. This is our proof as well. God proves he won by us dying with Christ in baptism and rising to live a new life. Think about that for a moment. Not only did God get victory over Satan, we have victory over Satan as well. We do it through the gospel. We do it through baptism. We do it by obeying those things, that form of doctrine, which is able to save our souls. So don't fret. Satan is powerful, but not all powerful. Next one. Oh, man, I'm struggling. Y'all pray for me. I have to borrow somebody's fingers. Get mad over that, sweetie. I'm on slide number 8. I press it 1, it goes back about 10. Ah, there we go. Jesus won over Satan the day he died for our sins. We went over Satan the same way. This is the only way to win over spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of darkness in this world, and powers and dominions of this world. That's how we went over. That's what it talks about when we put on the whole armor of God, that we're able to withstand the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the devil. You and I can have victory as well. Not that this world will get better, but we have individual victory because of obeying the gospel. If you're in Christ, you're in the best place possible. You're the only saving thing that's going to leave this earth and spend eternity in heaven. It's not social organizations. It's not anything else. It's not our citizenship. None of these things are going to matter in heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom. We need to focus on that and keep our eyes on that prize. All right, one more, Tina. The only hope for this world, in conclusion, the only hope for us in this world is Jesus and him crucified. Not another president, not another government, not money, fortune, and fame, not people in our lives. Nothing but the blood of Christ will save us. Don't get too attached to the world that Satan controls. Don't lose hope when it seems like he's winning. We said Christ, and we set the perfect example. We see Christ at certain times being silent, never saying a mumbling word. We see Christ saying this, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We see Christ seeing the picture, knowing what was going on, knowing that man had no clue, knowing that Satan and his angels, it was probably there in the vicinity of the crucifixion. I don't think they would have missed it. He was talking to really them too when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at us today. Look at how many folks are walking away from God at exactly the wrong time. Look at how many folks are getting tied up in the cares of this world at exactly the wrong time. Look at how we've lost our minds. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose our souls. Look at the fact of what God has done for us. Look at what he's saying to us with Christ on the cross. I created you in this world. I made this world for you, but you're not meant to stay. Satan, he's already given him and told him in scripture, told us in scripture that he was God of this world by his influence. Don't expect things to get better, family. It's not. But we get better because one more day, we're one more closer to putting on Christ and living with him forever. One more day on this earth. Yes, it's still evil and evil abounds. But really, we ought to see the glorious day approaching. One more day means that we're one step closer to not having to deal with the world and its foolishness. One more day on this earth lets us know, not necessarily that we're here and we're to dread it, but one more day means that sooner or later, there'll be no more wars. Sooner or later, there'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. That's what we should be focused on. That's why efforts need to be. That's what we need to be talking about more than the times of the day, that Christ has something better. And if they don't hear it from us, who are they going to hear it from? If all we're concerned about in this world are things of this world, how is the world going to have hope instilled in them? We ought to know the hope and the reason why we have hope, and that is Christ and him crucified. Last slide. In the end, as I said before, this world is not our home. We should be preparing for eternity while we're here. Satan controls this world by his power and influence. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, when it talks about the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those so they can't really see the truth. But we, being spiritually alive, if you obey the gospel, we ought to be see things spiritually. We ought to be able to look out into this world full of evil and still see that they still need Jesus. We ought to be able to look out into this world and our neighborhoods and communities and say, you know what? The government's going crazy, but I know somebody who's not. And that's Christ and him crucified. When the world has lost all hope in things getting better, we have a hope that's not touched, that's not based in this world. We have a joy that's not based in this world. We have a peace that's not based in this world, but we don't live in it. How is the world going to know it? If we don't talk about it, we don't celebrate in it, we don't live it every day, how in the world are we going to be lights in this world of darkness? So don't get too tied up in this world. Satan can never win us against God, and because of God and what he did on the cross, he can never win against you and I. The only way he wins is if we give up. The only way we win is if he turns back. The only way he wins if we never make God number one in our lives. As I learned the hard way, Satan sometimes can put so many good things in your life that you leave out the best thing. And guess what? He wins that way. He knows we see evil coming from a mile away. But I want you to think about the fact of what happened on the cross. I want you to think about the fact of what I read in Mark chapter 15 as we close this lesson down. The fact that they mocked him. They talked about him. They spat on him. But they weren't just the Pharisees and the scribe. Satan and his angels are right there, mocking him, saying the same thing. Maybe even implanting it in the minds of those there. If you be the Son of Christ, take yourself down. If you be the Son of Christ, he can't even save himself. Can you hear him? But then we see Christ, who had a bigger mission, which is a spiritual mission, to seek and to save the lost. As we go into our daily lives, and the reason why I wanted to end, I've got one more lesson. I want to talk about some things that help us on the other side next week about in the angelic realm. But as we end this series of lessons on doctrines of demons, there's no need to fret. Now, I've went over through just reviewing a little bit some things that really, if you look at it on the surface, it kind of scares us, but it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Why? Because we have victory in Christ. We know that that is something that really Satan can't take away from us, but we can give it to him. We can give it to him by not being obedient. We can give it to him by not being faithful. We can give it to him by not doing something with sin in our lives. And that's exactly what he wants. That's all he wants. We see that Satan's powers are limited against us. We see that with Job. Whatever he allows to do, it ought not shake us to the point where we give up on Jesus. It ought not shake us to the point what this world throws at us and how crazy people are acting and how crazy the government is acting and where we're going and pandemics and all these other things. We as Christians, we ought to be thinking about this thing a little different. We're not here to stay anyway. So what difference does it make if we live by tomorrow or 10 years from now? The thing is, are you ready when you leave here? That's what the focus is. That's what the world needs to hear. They're running in fear. If you don't believe it, turn on the TV. And they're selling fear through the media and everything else. We ought not be afraid. Because guess what? If it takes our body away, we live on spiritually. That's the focus. That's the blessing. That's why God says, whatever this world throws at us, don't fear. Don't fear what man can do to us. We have a better place, and this world is not our home anyway. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, the place is in Christ Jesus. And then all he wants us to do is walk with him. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to stumble. He knows you're going to stumble. That's why he gave us the law of repentance. But guess what? You just got to finish the course. If you're not where you need to be, if you're on the road, sometimes say of life, sitting over there rubbing your knots because life is beating you up a little bit, get up, suck it up, and keep going. No reason to fret. It's only going to last for a little while. And we being God's people, we ought to be lights in this world of darkness, not joining the darkness with them, not cursing the darkness with them, but lights. Are you a light in this world of darkness? The light we should be holding up is Christ and him crucified. That's the only hope for this dying world. That's the only hope for anybody to live in heaven. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward and sing.